I've kind of merged some things together this morning. So I want to talk to you a little bit out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, because it's all comes together. Okay. It says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that's in NIV, but in the King James, it says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves or ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's that day approaching, right, for all of us. There's a day approaching when Jesus is going to come back. Amen? All right? And we long for that day. We wait for that day. But there's also a day that's coming in my life when I'm not going to be here anymore. Hear me? My life is coming to an end one of these days. All of us. Everyone's appointed that day, whether we like it or not, and it's hard to think about that, but we're all appointed that day. I know it seems doom and gloom sometimes to start thinking about that, but if you're a born-again, saved Christian, it's not doom and gloom. Amen? It's a joyous occasion because we know that we'll step out of this life into a new life, an eternal life, a life without pain, a life without sin, a life that is beautiful and precious forever. No more of all this. No more of you putting up with me. And no more of me putting up with you. I'm just being truthful. We can say that and love each other, right? But you know that the church is one of the most vital connections in our lives? Do you know that? Connections being defined as things that are important to us. Church is important. Our families, our church, and most important, our relationship with God are the most important things in our lives, especially our relationship with Christ. Number one, because if you don't have that number one relationship with Christ, all else doesn't really fall into line or fall into place. The problem is we live in a society that doesn't encourage connection. It really doesn't. I know we have groups of people, but that connection society encourages a separation or an isolation from that. So they say you want to act like I want to, think like I want to, do what I want to, right? That's my point. It's, I want to do what I want to do, how I want to do it. Nobody can determine what I do in my life or tell me what to do in my life because it's about what I want, right? It's all about what I want. There's a song there, What I Really, Really Want. I don't know, it just popped in my head. I don't know where I heard that at. You know, there's two important connections that we must have in life, and I think I've already mentioned them. So most important, your relationship and connection with Christ. And the second is your church family and your church. These are two very important connections. And it's by design, these relationships put us in the right perspective, and other relationships in your life, it puts them in place too as well. And sometimes we're forced to slow down because of conditions beyond our control, but I think about springtime. Everybody looks forward to spring after a long winter. We come for that springtime newness of life, new fresh growth, new grass. We look forward to that. I look forward to that when I come to church. I like to see new life. It's something exciting, something new, something fresh. Sometimes I think we got to get out of the routine and do something different, don't you? Sometimes we get stuck in going through the motions, and I think that's what springtime represents a little bit, but it also represents that in our life. Relationships with the Lord is offered to each and every one of us, but It doesn't come easy for us, I'll say that. And I know this by experience. Church is complicated because there's all these ideas and all these personalities that merge together, and we come together as one body, trying to stick all these different personalities and together. And it's a very complicated thing. And there's people that, and I say this often, I mean, there's people I can tell, you know, I can look at them and say, you're an idiot, shut up, and stuff like that. And they don't get offended by it. And then there's people that if I ever said anything like that to them, they'd get mad and they wouldn't talk to me, or they'd be offended. They're easily offended. And these personalities, we come together, and that's what makes the church so complicated. But Christ tries to merge all that together, and he says, you become one body, just like marriage. See, it started there. The two will become one, and that's another complicated thing. Marriage. I have to have marriage counseling before I can give marriage counseling. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, somebody calls and says, hey, I need to talk to you about our relationship. Okay, let me call so-and-so and get some advice from them so that I can give you some advice. It's complicated sometimes, and everybody's situations are different. We're just messed up. It's just all there is to it. But God made us that way. But we struggle to do things God's way because, you know, in God's plans, it's God's ideas and not our ideas. It's not what we want, like I said before. It's not our idea of how things should be. It's God's idea of how things would be, and we have problems with that. We have problems with fitting God's way into our what I really, really want lifestyle. We struggle to do things like that. Our idea, a place where good people, that's what our idea of what church is a place where good people come to hear a good message from their pastor, they hope. And when all's said and done, we want to feel good and be happy until the next time we come. We hope that one message, so you guys, if I preach a little bit long, I'm sorry this morning because I've just got you for an hour. Now you guys are panicking. Okay, 35 minutes in 2 seconds, and you're clocking out on me. I mean, most of the time, the statistics say that people's attention span normally only lasts about 20 minutes. And if you go past 20 minutes, you've lost most people. They flatline. Some people just flatline mentally. They're just distracted by everything else. We expect someone not... We don't do that because we're too busy in our own life to maintain, teach, support, and encourage us. So that's why we come to church. We expect me to give you all the Bible teaching that you need for the week, or all the spiritual guidance for the week. And a lot of people don't read the Bible. They don't do anything. They don't even pay attention. Most of the time you can ask them in the parking lot after they left church and they can't remember what you preached on. So I don't even ask, because I don't want to get my feelings hurt. Because I got feelings too, you know that? I don't think some people know that I have feelings. Nobody here, okay? We expect a call or a card when we don't show up, and a happy face when we do show up. This is who we are. But there's God's idea of church. It's a place of redemption. Amen. A place where people can come and find that relationship with God that they're searching for, a place of discipleship. People from all walks of life at different levels of relationship with God can come and learn the things of God and allow God to change and transform their lives into who they need to be. Not me changing your life into who you need to be, or the church changing your life into who you need to be, but God himself. Hear me? Because it's him who changes people. We don't bring people in to make them church people. We bring them in to make them Christ followers, filled with the Holy Spirit, sanctified and on fire for God. Amen? It's also a place of commitment, a place where the people commit to Christ and each other, a place of service. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, teaches, equips believers for service. We have to realize that every one of us plays a part in the kingdom of God, though. One body coming together, right? All of us. So if we're really going to connect with Jesus, the church becomes more than just a building, right? There are many people who believe church is just a building. And if they can just come to the building, everything's good. Check it off my list, right? But church is more. If that's true, your hope is in a building built by human hands and not in a saving God who loves you very much. And if we're really going to connect with Jesus, the church becomes more than a building. It's an extension of our relationship with God, with Jesus, and through people who have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and are dedicated followers of Christ. Amen? Because that's who we are. We are the church. We're dedicated followers of Christ. We're not just church people. Amen? There was an unfortunate thing. Unfortunate to most, a relationship with Jesus is very distant. It's purposely kept that way, at a distance. Because if they get too close to Christ, it disrupts their life. You get close to Christ and He'll disrupt your life. He'll change your patterns. He'll change who you are. And most people don't want to change. They want to know God. They want to believe in God. And they want that security of, okay, I said a sinner's prayer one time and now I'm good. They want that. The benefits of salvation, benefits of the cross. Without the change in their life. So how do we have the connection with God and church without disrupting our lives? So what is expected in this connection? Connections are made between two conduits, really. Two connectors. I wouldn't say conduits, connectors. And if the two connectors are tight, the connection is not, if they aren't tight, the connection's not tight. One connector is the power source and one connector is the conduit. Connector that carries the power source for a special task. So this relationship with Christ, if the connection is to work, Jesus is the power source through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we are the recipient that He works through. Hear me? We are the redeemed, and He is the Redeemer, and He doesn't need saving. We do. The power of God is supplied and is not stored. Hear that. Meaning that we can't survive on our own strength and power. Hear me? Like a battery on a car. You think about this. Or on a boat. It has to have power coming in all the time to maintain the power within. Although it can store power for a while without being maintained by a power source, if it's not maintained, it'll lose its power. And if it's left without power, it becomes useless. You leave a battery without any maintenance on that battery for a year, and let me tell you, you go to charge that battery and it won't take charge. Man, that's a serious thought, isn't it? Why? Because it hadn't been maintained. Sometimes you can shock it back into working again, but most of the time you're just going to have to go buy a new battery because it won't take charge. Most batteries, after being left without maintenance, won't even take a charge and have to be discarded. Man, that's a hard thing. But when you read what Jesus said in the scriptures, You remain in me, I remain in you, the power source. And if you don't, what happens to a withered branch or an unfruitful branch? It gets cut off and thrown in the fire to be burned. As it bears no fruit, it has no power. It's disconnected itself. See, we must first receive, then work on the maintenance or the connections or the relationship with God. We have to first receive it for it to work. Then we have to maintain it, staying connected. The Bible gives us clear understanding of how all this works. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the disciples struggled with all that. Prior to, you know, Jesus' ascension, he's like, hey guys, I got to go. Where I go, you can't go. But I'm going to leave you power source. I'm going to leave you the conduit, the connection from me to you. I have to go because you need this in your life. Without this, you're not going to make it. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I said that twice, didn't I? Can I say it a third time? This is not optional. It's essential. It's essential. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, I've got to go, and I have to go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. You have to have the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. You can't survive as a faithful Christian in this world without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't do it. Many people try to do it. But sadly, they'll find themselves at the end where Jesus says, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, because I don't know who you are. You didn't seek me. You didn't look for me. You didn't stay connected. You didn't maintain yourself. All you did was go through the motions in your life, and you didn't even give it an effort. You know, there's a troubling notion among believers that the Holy Spirit is like a seat warmer in a car. It's nice to have, but it's unnecessary. That couldn't be further from the truth, could it? I like the seat warmer in the wintertime when it's cold. If you got leather seats, man, that's nice. I don't know about the steering wheel heater. Now that one's getting a little carried away, but the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra for Christian life. It is divine necessity, and it's not a bonus for a super spiritual connection. It's the breath of the church. We have to be who we are supposed to be and who we're supposed to be as Spirit-filled people. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no power, no conviction, no guidance, or no true intimacy with God. Jesus didn't say, just go do your best. Just do the best that you can and you'll get a trophy at the end. Right? Everybody gets a trophy because they do their best. Right? I'm looking forward to that because I'm doing my best. He said, wait for the Holy Spirit. The promise and power of the Spirit in Acts chapter 1 is his final instruction, like I said, before Jesus' ascension. And the disciples were eager to move, but Jesus told them to wait. Man, they were ready to get started immediately. What we find that happened after was a Peter that denied Christ three times to a Peter who preached the gospel and 3,000 people got saved. It's a little different, right? It was a Peter who suffered many things, and it was a Peter who was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified right side up like Christ. And he suffered even more, and he was happy to do it because he was suffering for Christ. As Paul and all the rest of the disciples, filled with the Holy Spirit, it didn't matter what happened to them, they were still serving Christ. They were still preaching the gospel. Now, they had their issues too. Peter didn't like to eat with Gentiles. Paul called him out on that one time and said, "Hey, brother, how come you're ignoring the Gentiles over here?" And Peter got convicted and started eating with the Gentiles again. Little things. He says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." That power in the Greek is dunamis. I've said that before. That's the same word where we get dynamite. Not human effort. It's a dynamic thing. It's an explosive thing. We look at that in the early church. It was an explosive thing that happened in the early church. Has that stopped? Was that supposed to just quit sometime when the last disciple died? No. We were to continue being explosive and dynamic and showing miraculous power, right? That's who the church is. It's the same word we describe the miracles of Jesus in the writings. That dunamis, that dynamite. Jesus was a dynamic speaker. Jesus had completed his earthly mission, though, and now the disciples were being commissioned to go into the world. But not before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we operate in human effort. With the Spirit, we move to divine power. With the Spirit of God, nothing is impossible. Amen?
Amen.
How many of us this morning really believe that? Or do we think it's just a myth or a mystical thing? We have to understand that He enables us to do what Christ has commanded. Bear the fruits of the Spirit. Love one another. Good grief. There was no way we could do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to stop trying to live for Jesus in our own strength and rely on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that takes time. Sometimes we need to wait and seek and be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. As Paul said, I die daily to the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to have it in my life because I'll mess up. I'm too strong-willed for that. There was a promise that was fulfilled in Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Man, can you imagine? People thought they were drunk, but everybody was like, how can we understand these people that are we can understand their language. That's not supposed to be. Pentecost was a Jewish festival celebrating the giving of the law at Sinai. But now God was writing His law on the hearts, not stone. Amen? That Greek word filled, to be completely full, to overflow, is what it means. That's the writings there, to be completely filled, to overflow. They weren't just inspired, they were overwhelmed, saturated. You ever been overwhelmed by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? You don't know what you're missing. People think, I've never felt that. I've never experienced that. Seek. Pray. Search. Yeah. You'll find it. Pentecost wasn't just the one-time event. It happens every day in the lives of Christ followers. Every day you can experience God on a level that you've never experienced Him before. It was the beginning of a Spirit-empowered living for every believer. You want to be successful as a believer? Seek the Holy Spirit. It was the beginning of this Spirit-empowered living for every believer. And that's why I'm asking you, are you filled this morning or are you just full of information? So many people have a lot of knowledge of who God is. They have a lot of scriptural knowledge. But they are not filled with the Spirit. They don't even understand what it's all about. Being filled with the Spirit changes how you speak, how you live, and how you love people for sure. It's not that you won't get aggravated at people because, I mean, you're just going to because people are people. Humanity is a tough bunch to deal with. And then Jesus says, I want you to come together and I want you to be one body. And you're like, that's impossible. He says, I know. But it's not if you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible. The Spirit has a work of regeneration. Hear me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He saved us not because of our righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I didn't have that part written down, but I gave it to Verna. Man, He poured it out on us. Gave it generously. That new birth used only twice in the New Testament. You know that? It means total regeneration. A new salvation is not just self-improvement, okay? It is a Spirit-led birth, rebirth. The Spirit's role in our sanctification. Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. In the NLT, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. I like that too. That guide means to walk step by step, intimately connected. It's the picture of a child walking hand in hand with their parent. Walking in the Spirit is not just a theory, it's a daily choice. It's saying no to sin and yes to Christ. And I'll say this morning to you. I pray that you surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit daily. I hope you can grow deeper and trust more. It depends on your choice, though. You either choose to live by the Holy Spirit or you choose not to. And that's the chance that you take because of the choice that you make. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great group of people that are here. Lord, I hope that these words being your words don't fall on deaf ears today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit overwhelms us today. Let us not leave here the same. Let us leave walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of love. Lord, I thank you. I pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen.